Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With the one Nathan Zagura. I'm going to bring Nathan on here. But I want Nathan, I want you to hear this. Good morning, live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Ric Flair sitting right next to him at a bar. Nathan Zagura joins us right now on the fan hotline. Nathan, I want you to listen to this. I'm sure you already did, but I want everybody else to listen to it. Because if you say it, or I say it, or Tone says it, I think a lot of outsiders checking in with us, they go, you guys, Stockholm Syndrome, you guys, you're Cleveland, you don't understand. You guys have never had a fan base jump in on you like this. I'm going, guys, we were here for Baker and Johnny. This ain't nothing new for us, but fine. But finally, somebody outside of Cleveland had this to say. Nathan, everybody, here's Dan Orlovsky, ESPN.
Will everybody stop with the Shedeur Sanders is being set up to fail narrative? Who do you want to start the game? It's preseason week one. First option, Joe Flacco. He's played for like 20 years. He's not going to start preseason week one. The next two options would be a Kenny Pickett or a Dylan Gabriel. Both are dealing with hamstring injuries. Neither has practiced a ton recently. If they've done anything, I believe it's been 7-on-7. Who do you want to start the game? The next two options are Shedeur and Snoop Huntley. Shador's been there. Snoop Huntley just got there. So while Shedeur may not have had reps with the ones, what else do you want them to do in Cleveland? It's an opportunity for him. It may not be the ideal opportunity. Very rarely is it for a fifth round pick, but it's an opportunity for him to go out there and do in a game what many have reported he's done in practice. Stop with the setup to fail narrative.
Listen, Nathan, I mean, you've been a part of the organization for a long time. We've been broadcast partners with the organization for a long time. We've got to see the ins and outs. I don't think that there have been times where I've disagreed with how they've gone about business over all the different regimes and things like that. But let's be honest. I mean, they didn't just take Shedeur Sanders to put the boots to him and have him go out there and look terrible here. This is a different situation. They're going to do their best to get the very best out of Shedeur, not just today, but obviously throughout all training camp.
It's a crazy narrative. It would be one thing if the people understood the situation that, as Dan Orlovsky pointed out, you've got Joe Flacco, you've got two injured quarterbacks in Kenny Pickett and in Dylan Gabriel, and it's not like he's going out there. It would be one thing if this was a real game, and all you said, okay, he's got no reps with the ones, and then you're going to throw him into a real game and have him sink or swim. This is the preseason. It's the first game of the preseason. He's going to be out there with the twos. He's gotten reps with the twos. So he is going to be out there with people that he has gotten practice reps with that he's been very comfortable. He took the two reps in 11-on-11s in the joint practice against Carolina, and he's going to be with the twos out there. Now, Carolina's going to play their starters for a series, maybe two, so that'll be great work for all of those guys and great valuable tape. But no, this is certainly not a case of trying to set Shedeur Sanders up to fail. Right now, he is the fourth string quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. This is an opportunity. This is a great opportunity. Not a lot of fifth round quarterbacks would get this opportunity with the twos, and he's getting it. Now, we can debate whether or not he should have been a fifth rounder. That's, at this point, it's moot. He was. But I think Shedeur Sanders has gotten good reps with the guys that he's going to be playing with. It is the first preseason game. The notion that this is like starters on starters and he's just being thrown out there without having any chemistry with these guys is wild. The Browns, first of all, they rotate all their receivers anyway. But yeah, he's going out there with the twos and the threes and a group that he has been very familiar with. And now this is a great opportunity for him to show exactly who he is as a quarterback. And I think if I was Shedeur, I certainly would be very, very excited about this opportunity.
You know, Nathan, this show would never apologize for going over in excruciating detail preseason numbers and yards per attempt. But we did that last segment. The only thing we were missing was expanded ETA, right? We need EPA, I should say, Nathan, which I'm sure you're going to attempt to track down. With that said, how wide open do you think it'll be tonight for Shedeur? Do you think it'll be a controlled passing game?
I think it'll be open for him. I think it will be a lot of it. They want to keep it, you know, in things that he is comfortable with doing. I think people have to remember that it has been pretty well documented that he's had a big learning curve. You know, Dillon Gabriel started more games than anybody in college football history, thrown more passing touchdowns than anybody in college football history. Shedeur Sanders does not have that background, and some of the things that he was asked to do, or things that he, more accurately, not asked to do at Colorado, has had him play catch up. He's worked incredibly hard. He's done a very good job with it. But I think as you look at it, you know, they're going to give him, they want him to be successful. That's the whole point of this. The Cleveland Browns want Shedeur to go out there and play well. They want all these young guys to go out there and play well. So I think it's going to be a lot of concepts that he's comfortable with. I do think you'll see at times maybe some spread, some four receivers, things that he was used to doing, obviously, at Colorado. And you'll see also the blend of what Kevin Stefanski does. Get him under center, run the football, and hit some of those play action, those boots, get him on the edge where he can use his athleticism and use the fact that he's a very accurate thrower on the run and make plays out of the pocket. So I think you're going to get the full gamut. I mean, when you get 50 plays, like you got to get dip into something, right? So I think it's going to be a good look at Shedeur Sanders and what he is able to do. And quite frankly, I'm excited to see it. I know a lot of people are excited to see it. I think when you look at this Browns quarterback situation right now, it's pretty clear that given that he has not gotten any first team reps yet, that, you know, he's not in the competition to start week one, and that's okay. That's okay. Dillon Gabriel now has missed some time. We've said all along, at least when I've talked to you guys, I thought Kenny Pickett was the guy that they were hoping would be the starter in week one, and that Joe Flacco was there in case it can't be Kenny Pickett. Now, Kenny Pickett hasn't been able to do team drills in 2 weeks, and these are a very valuable 2 weeks. And if we go to Philly and he's not able to go out there, I think you are going to get Joe Flacco in week one for the Cleveland Browns against the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think people need to just enjoy tonight for what it is, a young quarterback getting an opportunity to really show the world what he is capable of in a preseason game. And let's see how he's doing. He's certainly not being set up to fail. He's going to play with the guys he's been practicing with. And the Browns certainly want to see him succeed.
Nathan Zagura joining us here on the Fan Hotline. It's weird to go from a big-name quarterback, but I have to Jamari Thrash, because I'm hearing great things about him. You know, we had almost a 1,000-yard season out of Donovan Peoples-Jones, a bit of a diamond in the rough. Could we sure. get that with Jamari Thrash? I know it's very early to ask that, but, boy, he seems like a fine young man, and I really like him as a wide receiver.
You know, he's done really well. And even in the joint practice, you know, he got into the end zone in the red zone drill. He's getting opportunities with the starters. I'd say right now, kind of clearly the top four receivers in terms of who's getting, you know, reps would be Judy and Tillman, who will not play tonight. They're clearly your one and two. And then it's been, you know, Deontay Johnson and Jamari Thrash, who both have had excellent camps. I think DeAndre Carter's given them a little bit more as a receiver than perhaps they were expecting when they brought him in, although he did have a 500-plus yard season with the Chargers a few years ago. Jamari Thrash was, you know, Steve Smith, we're in Carolina. Steve Smith was out that joint practice. Jamari Thrash was Steve Smith's one of his favorite receivers in that draft a year ago. He remains very bullish on him. We'll see. The Browns are going to need in that receiver room as it is currently constructed, either Deontay Johnson to return to, you know, his Pro Bowl form, or at least very productive form, you know, 700-800 yards. And certainly he looks, the ability to create separation is definitely still there. They're going to need Cedric Tillman to stay healthy and kind of show what he did in that three-game stretch. And they're going to need somebody else to step up, because that's just the nature of the beast. And, you know, Jamari Thrash, I think, is a very good candidate for that. But tonight we'll get a good look at him, because tonight I think with Shedeur, you know, at least for the first quarter, he and Deontay Johnson are kind of going to be in that 1-2 receiver role. And so can you do it now in a game with the lights on, because you're going to get some reps against their ones, although J.C. Horn won't be out there. But you're going to get some reps against their ones. You know, can Jamari Thrash stand out in this environment tonight? I think that will be something certainly to watch.
Nathan Zagura with us, Browns Radio Network. Of course, you'll hear from him later tonight right here on 92.3 The Fan. So this might be a tough question for you to be able to answer, but for the organization and for the coaching staff, which is more important in evaluation? Was it what just happened in Carolina the other day with their joint practice, or will it be what happens tonight, not just for quarterback, for everybody?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think when you look at the joint practice, the people that they really wanted to you're evaluating everybody, and you want to see all of that. But what you wanted to see in the joint practice was your good players play very well, because that's the only opportunity you're going to see for them. So, and you saw that. I thought our lines were both excellent. Joe Flacco played well. Judy has been Jerry Jeudy has been a standout all camp long and certainly continued that there. So you saw that. Then, yes, of course, you're evaluating your twos. You're evaluating your threes. But I think for those guys, it's all being evaluated. That was important, the joint practices. That's certainly more important than a regular training camp practice. But I think for these guys tonight to compete under the bright lights, how do they handle that? Do they change what they're doing because the situation has changed, or do they take what they did on the practice field and they take that to the game field tonight? So, yes, this is big evaluation. This is a big evaluation point for those guys, guys fighting for roles. And I think if you're talking about, you know, some of those guys who are looking to make sure they get playing time on actual Sundays, you know, those first 8 to 12 reps when you're going against the Panther starters, those are going to be important reps. Kevin Stefanski said that to me last night on the Kevin Stefanski show. But, yeah, this is big evaluation. You've got this one, then you're going to go to Philly. You're going to get two joint practices there. Again, more emphasis on your starters, and that's why I think watching Kenny Pickett and where that hamstring's at next week is going to be critical, because if he misses another week, I just think it's going to be really hard for him to be the week one starter, and I think Joe Flacco's had a great camp, and so we'll watch that. But then that game again next week in Philly, it's not going to be the starters. It's going to be these guys, second team, third team, who are trying to make this roster, trying to carve out a role. And, yeah, these are big, big evaluations, the games.
Nathan Zagura with us on the show. Hey, who are maybe some ones who could be playing on the defensive side of the ball?
I think you'll see the rookies, probably not for too long.
Mason Graham, yes.
Yeah, Mason Graham, Carson Schlesinger, you'll see those guys out there. As you kind of go through it, this is, do not hold me to this because it is not, we didn't go kind of position by position, but I don't think, let's do it this way. I don't think you'll see Myles Garrett. I don't think you'll see Malik Collins. I don't think you'll see Greg Newsome. I don't think you'll see Grant Delpit. I don't think you'll see Denzel Ward. Beyond that, I think you could see a lot of stars. I think you will see, like, Ronnie Hickman. I think it certainly makes sense for him to be able to get some reps out there. I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on, and something I would direct people's attention to is the slot cornerback battle. Cam Mitchell, Miles Harden, how they perform tonight, because with MJ Emerson out, Greg Newsome's going to be an outside corner. So that certainly is something to watch. I do think you'll see probably all the linebackers. Mahmoud Diabate is out, so, you know, maybe Jerome Baker and Devin Bush won't get as many reps as the young guys. Bookie Watson, Winston Reed, Ethan Mascarenhas Arnold, which is a great name. Yeah, but I think it's more, you just won't see Miles, you won't see Malik Collins. I'm excited to see our defensive ends, Alex Wright, Isaiah McGuire, Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, Julian Okora, Cam Thomas. They've all had very good camps, and I think that'll be fun to watch. But I really think on the defensive side, it's just the big names. Miles, Malik, Newsome, Delpit, Ward, for sure that you won't see, because we got a lot of young guys over there.
Has Cam Thomas, of all people, I know that people are like, what are you asking about Cam Thomas? I keep hearing his name. Has he reached pet cat status where it's like, hey, they really, really, really like him?
I think that is going to be a really, really fascinating battle between Cam Thomas and Julian Okwara for the fifth defensive end spot. I think Miles, Alex Wright, Isaiah McGuire, Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, that's going to be your top four. And typically, we carry five defensive ends. Now, all six could stay in the program, but we're pretty good there. Cam Thomas, I thought, played well last year, five games. He had a sack for the Browns. You know, Okwara has been a productive pass rusher in his career out of Notre Dame, a former third-round pick. That's what's wild about it. Cam Thomas is a third-round pick of Arizona in 22. Okwara was a third-round pick of Detroit in 20.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So these are guys that obviously had some pedigree coming out of college. He's been good. I don't know if he's at pet cat status. I think he and Okwara, that's going to be a real good battle. Alex Wright has been dominant. And you go back, and anybody who's able to have some of the tape from that joint practice, there was a rep in one-on-ones where he took the guard because he's got the ability to line up inside. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun with, you know, this pass rush. Mason Graham and Miles Garrett in that joint practice worked some games, some TE stunts, and they were unblockable together, which is something I think could be fun to watch. But Alex Wright threw their guard literally onto his back, and with such force that the guy somersaulted a couple of revolutions. That got everybody going, obviously, on the Browns defense. But he's back. He's healthy. I got a chance to talk to him, and he's looked good. McGuire's looked good. Shoyinka is so long, so fast, former first-round pick. who can get around the edge. So I think that group is going to be a lot of fun to watch. But Cam Thomas, Okwara, I think for that battle for the fifth one, that's something if fans are watching, you know, late in this game, watch that, because in our camp, they have dominated our third string tackles, dominated them. And it'll be curious to see how that plays out in this game tonight.
Nathan, we thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours. We'll be listening to you tonight and looking forward to talking to you again next week, my friend.
All right, guys, thank you. I think a lot of things are going to become a lot clearer for the Cleveland Browns next week when we head to Philly. Enjoy tonight.
Nice.
And, you know, hopefully Shador goes out there and puts on a good show for all of us.
We do appreciate it. Nathan Zagura on the Fan Hotline. Excellent stuff from him, hearing about Shador, what he can do tonight. And more clarity will probably be provided for us next week against Philadelphia. So this is, in the words of Paul Dolan, enjoy him. Nathan Zagura talking about Shador Sanders. Also, I'm getting texts, or Lime is getting texts that I'm out of touch. More on that coming up right before Coming in Hot at 9:45. 216-474-0092. I'm actually disappointed. I'm actually disappointed that I'm not going to get to see Dillon Gabriel today. And here's why. I want to feel better about the organization. They made a risky choice, or not a risky choice, a bold, if you want to say, surprising with Dillon Gabriel in the third round. And we've heard nothing but not good reports. I mean, Daryl has not liked anything the guy has done. Zach Jackson, who comes on the show frequently, our friend, he has not liked anything he has done. They're not saying that he's a bad guy, but man, they're saying he's a bad quarterback and that this is a difficult thing. And if he were on the field tonight, like Lime, at least I'd have that chance to confirm or disconfirm any suspicion, because I think that right now it's hard to say this, at least with this regime, because and there's been so many opportunities up and down, but there's as little trust as you've ever had with the organization, right? In talent evaluation, evaluating the people around, like you, Quinshon Judkins, we had to spend time talking about Quinshon Judkins, whether or not he's even going to be eligible to play this year from the NFL. I mean, talent evaluation of, hey, DeJuan Jones might end up being a good left tackle for you, but he has to replace the guy he took in the first round. There's a lot that doesn't set well with a lot of fans. And I think if Dillon Gabriel were to go out there and at least conduct himself like a starting quarterback, I mean, Daryl's saying that they're treating him like a first-round guy, which is, I think, concerning to say the least for a lot of fans. Lime, at least I'd get to see. I'd get the chance to either, okay, I'm knocking it down. I don't know what they're seeing in this guy. It's a waste. It could be a waste of a pick, this, that, and the other. Or, hey, you know what? Maybe they do know what they're looking at. Maybe they do. Because we always overreact to preseason games, but you would do that. We're looking for a quarterback. We're desperate for a quarterback. Clearly, myself, I'm desperate for a quarterback. You would go back and you would have to say, yeah, what are you doing with this guy? Could this guy actually be a starting quarterback for your football team? If he were to do well.
I mean, look, there's no...
I feel cheated out of that because of the injury.
There's no doubt. It's going to be really hard tonight with Shador. And yeah, I agree. I would have loved to see Dillon Gabriel as well. It's going to be really hard to assess who's telling the truth after all of this. That is the hard thing to me. Like, I try to tell fans, I mean, people think we're biased too, obviously, like anybody else. But I like to think that we'll come on and, yes, we'll have some fun if Shador lights it up. But we'll also put it in the proper context. Same thing. If he struggles mightily, we're not going to come on the air on Monday and say, that's it for his career. This dude can't play.
No.
Like, this is just one of many data points in what he hopes to be assembling, you know, a bunch of data for a career. You know, he's going to want the opportunity. Unfortunately, you know, we do know that guys taken the later they are in the draft, the less wiggle room, the less margin for error, the less chance they have. Maybe he affords himself a little more because of the fan base. Let's not lie. This is a business. Like, Shador is good for business for a lot of people, but in the end, if he stinks over time, like, he's going to be out of the league. You know, there's only so much there's only so much time you can buy yourself, especially when you're not a first round pick. But I say that, and the guy I compared him to earlier in the show, Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow only had a few years and he was a first round pick. So it's not like you're guaranteed this huge runway. At some point you do have to play well. I'm just not going to sit here. If he lights it up, I'm not going to downplay that either. If he lights it up tonight, I'll be excited. It's a Browns quarterback playing well, even if it's not a real game.
That's a hell of a thing. How do you want me to react if he plays well? How should I react? Because I've gone through the gamut of emotions this week. Just through it all. Again, I can't treat him like a run-of-the-mill fifth-round pick. He's that big of a name. And don't act like I should. Like the NFL people who text you, Albert Breer, it's like, guys, no. And I've said it a million times already in this show. You know damn well, on the networks that you guys broadcast on, people were making a big damn deal ripping NFL football teams for not drafting him in the second round, in the third round. They were shocked. One of the first things that they said after Dylan Gabriel got drafted was, I can't believe Shedeur Sanders might be on the board for day three. Like, these are the first things that they're talking about. So don't give me a bunch of bleep over talking about the guy and be like, well, he's only a fifth round pick. No, that's BS. And you know that's BS because of the networks you work for. You're sitting there trying to tell me that I should treat Shedeur Sanders like I would any run of the mill fifth, sixth, or seventh round pick. You know that's disingenuous and you know that's wrong. That all pointed out, I am trying to see it where it's like, hey, it is unlikely fifth round picks become big time names for you. And I am 100% admittedly desperate, which desperate people do not think clearly. I'm desperate to dig ourselves out of this spot because I don't want to be another year into this thing waiting for a quarterback. And I think we probably will. I don't think we can skip steps. It just sucks where I want something here where, man, we have this embarrassment of riches now for the future, and we have this quarterback that fell into our lap, and now I don't feel like I'm wasting time with Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and this, that, and the other. I don't want to do that. That said, I think in realism, in real time, that's what's probably going to end up happening. You know, there's millions of get-rich-quick schemes out there. Most people just have to save up and do the whole Dave Ramsey thing. Don't want to really reference him, but you get what I'm saying. That's where I'm at with quarterbacks, and that's where I'm at with Shedeur. So how do I react if he does really well on tonight?
I've got the New York Post up from August 10th, 2018. Why is that a day that matters? Baker Mayfield shows exactly why he was the number one pick.
Outstanding.
After rifling a slant to fellow rookie Antonio Callaway, who shed Giants corner Leonard Johnson for a 54-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter Thursday night. Baker Mayfield took off sprinting to the end zone to celebrate with his wide receiver. There are no Heisman trophies for him to win in the NFL, but his impressive performance, that is against the Giants, Saquon Barkley as well, offered hope for the woebegone Browns and undoubtedly thrilled the HBO Hard Knocks people. And it mentions him as the controversial number one overall pick. Said, in short, he looked
controversial.
He looked more like Drew Brees than Johnny Manziel.
Judas Priest. Again, for the Shedeur fans, like, you guys aren't ready for this. This ain't our first rodeo. This is our third rodeo. If you throw in Odell, this is the fourth rodeo.
Would you like to hear what...
Might as well be J.B. Mooney.
What Mary Kay Cabot of The Plain Dealer wrote.
What'd she write? That's a Bill Nunn Award winner. You better be careful.
That is, with the sterling preseason debut for the Browns, here's what everybody is saying. Mary Kay Cabot wrote, Mayfield displaying all the moxie that made him a national sensation at Oklahoma, completed 11 of 20 passes, 212 yards and two touchdowns in seven series, earned a 125.4 rating for a rousing start to his career. Will we get a rousing start for Shedeur Sanders
tonight?
I sure
as hell hope so. God, I sure as hell hope so. It might end up being a hog, but let's get out the lipstick, man. Let's do it. At least for tonight. We'll get it figured out later on in the season. Let's do it. I got to ask you a question. I did bring up how desperate I am. Who's the most desperate franchise to find a quarterback in the NFL? Is it us?
I figured we were definitely up there.
I figured we were definitely number one.
That are the Colts.
About the Bears?
They got Caleb Williams.
Is he good?
They better hope he is. And look at what they've done in the draft and
Saints?
Free agency. Saints got Tyler Shuck.
Drew Brees. Come on.
Saints got Tyler Shuck. You look at the history, the ownership, everything. Mm-hmm. Bears would have been close, but you know, we'll see what Caleb Williams is. I'm not saying he's going to be great, but they got Caleb Williams. The Archie Manning story comes out yesterday from On3, which technically Jimmy Haslam broke 2 weeks ago. But Archie Manning says that Arch Manning didn't come out of the draft in 2026. He's going to go back to college. That, and I totally believe that. That's not breaking any news. It doesn't mean that the Browns might not try to change his mind. Because I will point this out. If you got Charles Woodson in as a, is it 5% or 1%? Is it a 1% for $5 million, I think it is? I might have got my rods and cones mixed up. If you got him in for an ownership stake, you're telling me you wouldn't get Archie in, or excuse me, Cooper Manning in at an ownership stake to make sure that his son comes out? You got the number one overall pick. The Texas season has just ended. Think of it goes the best way possible. Arch Manning's really good. This is why I want Shedeur Sanders to go crazy, because think about what we're talking about here. Arch Manning's really good. Heisman Trophy, national championship. Say it's all there for him. All there for Arch Manning. You literally have nothing left you can accomplish that's new. I imagine you win the Davey O'Brien Award and all the other stuff that goes with it if you win the Heisman Trophy as a quarterback. Right. You're telling me you don't try to talk him out of that and go, why do you want to go back when we can offer you this, this, and this? Why do you want to go? I can get you the coaching you want. I can get you, even if you still like Kevin, we can get you Kevin. Would you put it past the Browns to try to make sure he wants to go back to college instead of, don't you want to see how you can resurrect a proud franchise that's fallen on a hard time, the daddy? Can't you see that this might be a possibility for you? Look at what Peyton did for the Ursay family and the Colts. Look what Peyton did. I mean, you had a guy like Bill Tobin who was fighting on television with Mel Kiper Jr. And look what your Uncle Peyton did. Look what your Uncle Eli did for the Giants. They had fallen on hard times right after they had their little run there in the 90s.
I'd point to somebody else.
Who?
I'd say, hey, look at what LeBron James did.
Look at what LeBron James did for
you
the Cavs.
You want to be the LeBron James of football? Step right up.
You can't. Listen, you got to make him say no to you. That's all. This is why, God, I hope Shedeur Sanders says well tonight, please. Please, 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 please. Because already that first story right there, it just tells you, all right, people are thinking about the Browns, and if the Browns have the number one pick, that's what they're thinking. Here I am begging a rookie quarterback to do well tonight. I dare to dream.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.